Hello and welcome to this episode of the Venus Investor Evolutionary Astrology Podcast. And I wondered, have you seen Elon Musk has been jumping around with excitement for being greenlit for America going to Mars, which is actually quite exciting if you're astrology minded or astronomy minded, of course. And we are currently deep in Mars retrograde. So I wanted to sort of think about the whole Mars as a planet, actually going to Mars. There's so many different ways of approaching a planet, not necessarily the physically in a rocket ship, but the ideas around it, from its mythology to its physical makeup and to our history with it. But I was thinking of that, you know, actually going to Mars. America is about to go to Mars, not just a little rover whose images that are sent back to Earth. I love those images of the night sky at Mars, or, you know, little doorways on Mars and things. But anyway, firstly, is this America going to Mars? Is it some kind of interstellar idea? I love that film. Is the crew for this one going to nominate itself? Would you go? I mean, you have to be an astronaut, of course, but would you leave your family behind? You know, some of those scenes in Interstellar, there's a purpose, there's a mission behind it. But you see them out there all alone on a planet, years away from anyone else, years to get a message. I mean, totally, that takes aloneness to a completely another level. And you're in an unknown place and what looks kind of slightly inhospitable too. Your life right on the edge. No one is there to help you. It does seem rather profoundly lonesome and terrifying. Even if you were like super confident with all the tech and what you were going to do there, it's like, whoa, that's a big one. And other films like Moon, I love that film Moon, when he's out there on his own or not, as the case may be, and Passengers, where they were heading off to colonize somewhere. It's going to take 20 years or something, and they put them all to sleep, but some of them woke up too soon, or Jennifer Lawrence did anyway. Yeah, I love all that idea of what is really out there. And, you know, so that was what piqued my eye, my thought process with Elon Musk there. But I'm more of the belief that this is all consciousness, a vast expanse of consciousness, and that within this solar system, we have a kind of setup within our little bubble here. Like, this is our setup for the evolution of humanity and mankind. But why would we do that? But, you know, also the Steiner theory that we as humans are evolving to become the 10th layer in the angelic realm. And as the Pisces part of this, we're in the Pisces era. We are the Pisces part of that level. The nine choirs of angel, and then the Holy Spirit and the Lamb of God above that. But anyway, there's Aquarius. We're in Aquarius season now, aren't we just? Aquarius in astrological terms does represent the human, but also the angel and our consciousness. So I feel like this whole solar system was set up for us, but where does it start and end on a physical basis? How far do we have to go to reach another dimensional reality? And is that in miles? Because, you know, the distance between the sun and the earth is 1 AU. That's one astronomical unit, and that's 93 million miles. It's not a day trip. And each planet after the sun is very approximately almost double the distance than the previous. So if the Earth is 1 AU from the sun, then the next planet is going to be 2 AU, although it's just a tiny bit less than that. And then after that, it would be Jupiter would be at 3 or 4 AU. But actually, the asteroid belt is there, where there should have been a planet. And that's how they knew that there should have been a planet there. Because then double the distance after the asteroid belt and you get to Jupiter at just over 5 AU. And then you double that for Saturn beyond that and you're at 10 AU. These figures are not an exact science, but they act as a rough guide, which, you know, is internationally recognized, everyone uses. It's the Titus Bode theory. And after Saturn, we get nearly double that 10, we get to 19 AU. And when we get to Neptune and Pluto, they have rather eccentric circles, so they don't necessarily stay within it. And the closest they are in is 30 and 39 AU, respectively. So Neptune goes out to, is 30, but goes out to 39, which is 40 AU, double Uranus. And in that level, then Pluto goes actually out to 50 AU. He's the furthest out. And these are huge, phenomenal distances. And I often ponder them. But, you know, this Titus Bode theory is also considered the harmonics of the universe, the harmonics of the planets, and how they worked out where they should be. But as I mentioned, because of the asteroid belt should have been there to complete this rule between Mars and Jupiter, that harmony would have existed. And actually all there is rocks. Oh, I'm being a bit derogatory about the asteroid belt. It's, you know, phenomenal. Ceres being quite almost a planet, almost as big as Pluto. So the distances involved to go out beyond to the edge of our solar systems are just massive. Well, not even to the edge, to Pluto, 50 AU. Now, our solar system is enclosed in a space, and it is theorized by eminent scientists that the way, way, way out in space, there is the Oort cloud. But they cannot confirm this because no one can go out there and check that it's there, obviously. But the idea here is that there is a sphere or like a globe or a ball around us. And it's a ball made of icy rocks and space dust. And this is when we get an occasional comet coming in from outer space. And why then that comets come from all directions? They don't come in from the neat little pattern on the ecliptic or the Milky Way. They come from all directions because they're coming from the Oort cloud. So remembering that Pluto, it, at its furthest reach on the, its eccentric orbit, goes out to 50 AU, and that's in deep space, that the inner edge of the Oort cloud is supposed to be between 2000 to 5000 AU further from the sun. I mean, wow, that's some mega distance. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And the outer edge of that Oort cloud, so if the inner cloud's 2 to 5, the outer edge is anywhere between 10,000 and 100,000 AU. I mean, the distances are just incomprehensible, really. And obviously, this is also very good expert guess as to what this actually is. This is just a theorized by very clever people. And of course, I've got no reason to doubt them. So here we are in our bubble, in our Oort cloud. And I feel that this is more to do with our consciousness, that when you're beyond there, out in space. And yeah, I'm not the only person who thinks this, obviously, but I think there are potentially more Oort clouds, bubbles with solar systems inside. And going back to that physical versus consciousness versus different reality theory, perhaps the Oort cloud isn't even a physical thing. It's just how we would imagine it. And so therefore it is. And we just make it physical by thinking about it. And it really is the edge of our consciousness or the edge of the dimension that we are enclosed with. That's the edge of our programming. That's the edge of the show. We don't exist beyond that. And this also reminds me of that film Don't Worry Darling that was directed or produced by Olivia Wilde and it's got Harry Styles in and Gemma Chan and brilliantly Florence Pugh. And they are in, well, I don't want to give the away, but definitely is worth seeing, but they are in a simulated reality and there is an edge to it and they're told not to go there. You know, that the if they get to the edge, you know, that they said, look, you don't need to worry about this. You've got the perfect world here. This is where you stay. But and then that in turn reminded me of the Barbie show. But really, it is the idea that we are in a program. And we have created this program, which we kind of have, But how far does that go? Do we get to the edge and there's a wall like in the Truman Show? I'm fascinated by these ideas and the potential that we are in the Matrix. So, coming to my point about Mars, I don't feel that Mars is the physical place apart from a rock in the sky. I feel it really is another dimension. Or is it that, do I mean by that another timeline or another frequency? And perhaps we will get there. Perhaps Elon Musk will get there on a rocket. But maybe something changes on that journey and we arrive the distance on Mars. Maybe he gets to the rock and it's just a rock, where really he should have travelled there in an interdimensional sense and then understood what's there. So I absolutely feel that we need to get to super advanced technology where we can see Mars as another dimension on a conscious plane or separate reality that we can access in a different way other than super powerful rockets. So it has got me thinking on that. And apparently there are many scientists who understand that there is life on Mars. And by that, I don't mean water and some bacteria. I mean proper, intelligent, walking, talking. And we know it as the war planet, ruled by the god of war. And in another of these timelines or dimensions, many wars have been fought on Mars, and even with some of our Earth's soldiers, apparently, who have been taken to Mars as soldier slaves. Now, there's a thought. And for the next time you're playing a video game. And so in this way, Mars has been an aggressive. Mars has been the fighter planet, and it has learnt the right place for war and aggression and a more appropriate way to have antagonism and to resolve that. They've learnt the hard way. You know, they had various lessons to do with their own willpower, their personal assertiveness and aggression, anger, culminating in a shift from this antagonism to creating peaceful resolutions. And that's why they, the Martians, are trying to help with Earth. So before they learnt that lesson, at some point, I don't know when, they were in their super aggressive mode. It's like being on your PS4, and they wanted other people to fight with, and they couldn't find any. They'd run out, so they put a call out to see who would fight them. They were actually going, you know, come on, let's have you, to anyone who would answer. And apparently Orion answered. Orion, super fit Orion. However, Orion knew how to disable their weapons instantly. They were far more advanced. And the fight between these two big soldier-like planets that lasted, or peoples or whatever, lasted 1 second. It only went blink and it was gone, because Orion took over Mars by disabling their weapons. And that is how the Martians have learnt what it is to be taken over. And now they're lending their iron will forces to mankind, so that we can operate under a free will mode, which is the blessing of the universe. We have free will. Yet we are eventually due to give this up for the will of God. And it's like that point in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus said, if not my will, then your will, Father. That is, we surrender to that will. So whatever is going on in inner Mars or on Mars or in the other dimensional Mars that we cannot see from the Mars rover. And, you know, we can see bits and pieces, can't we? You know, it all looks like just orange dust. But apparently, you know, and you can see there's faces and figures on Mars, you know, and apparently they left them as recognition for anyone visiting. And when I say they left them there, does that mean that they've gone from this physical reality into another dimensional reality? I mean, have you seen that doorway in the rock in Mars? It literally looks like something from Egypt. It really does. And have you seen the faces coming up through the surface? There are faces there. And of course, there are pyramids, just like there are in the Arctic Circle that we can sort of semi-see now. However, the pyramids on Mars apparently are far, far larger than those on Earth, and the Martians were really good at building or having pyramid technology. So I think we would be absolutely mind blown, stunned by their prowess. And so I am excited to see how this transpires. So now that Mars has overcome their aggressive nature, thank God, they are obviously helping humanity. But if we are about to go there physically, at what point are we going to merge the thought process of rockets going millions of miles to a rocky planet with no air to us transcending dimensional reality and visiting other planets, either in a non-physical way or in a quantum way? And maybe that's driven by our consciousness. And so that's where I am with this. And maybe the rockets going to the moon or the Mars is just going to be a distraction. And I want to know, have you got any theories on this? What have you learned about this sort of our idea of mankind going beyond our home? Is it really possible? And have we just not gone back to the moon because we got there and the moon being said, no, come back later? Didn't someone say that they were told, come back later, don't come round now, you're not advanced enough, sorry. So all up for debate, and these are very Aquarian thoughts to follow on from last week's Aquarian full moon, of course. And of course, we're in Mars retrograde right now, and Mars is slowing down and it's going to station at 17 degrees Cancer. And Mars is going to be stationing there for a whole month at that one spot. So have you got anything around 17 degrees Cancer or 17 degrees in the air signs? I mean, the water sign, sorry, Cancer is a water sign. Or opposite Cancer in Capricorn, or a square in Aries or Libra. Is that right? It does seem strange that Mars, the warrior, the decisive action taker, the go-get'em energy planet, is sitting still in what really is the kitchen of the zodiac, of the solar system, in Cancer. So that's kind of like, wow, it's like the warrior has come home. He's got a big sword, or he's got a Kalashnikov rifle, and he's sitting in the kitchen in his camo gear and a helmet. Yeah, that's how Mars is. He's that powerful, and he's in your kitchen, and it's like, wow, you know, we've got to crash bump around in here and sort things out. And Mars at this point really is inviting us to feel into our learned patterns of behavior that come from childhood, from our home, from our original home. And therefore, how we express our will from that point, and maybe how our inner child needs that attention, and it's our inner child speaking and not necessarily the adult. Or is that to do with our mothering aspects, be that the Cancer mother style or the lack of mothering? Mars here wants to look at those things and potentially leave behind or grow out of what we no longer needed in those Cancer themes. You know, are we feeling into the idea that many of our ways of being, our modus operandi or our coping mechanisms stem from how comfortable we might feel now or how comfortable we did or didn't feel back then in the Cancer home security way? You know, how well adjusted are we to various situations? And are we surrounded with love? Were we surrounded with love and the care that we needed? And is that still resonating now? So are we acting? Are we acting in the Mars way that Mars gets things done, action, out of love in the Cancer way, or out of fear for not having that love, which is also the Cancer way, or it's also the Pisces way as well. But deciding which it is, you know, is really with Mars retrograde and Mars stationing here, is about to make a profound difference to our lives going forward. And for Mars going forward is going to be on the 23rd, 24th of February, depending on where you are in the world. After that date, you can't make any excuses. You've got to get things done there. We can't blame the retrograde for a bit anyway. Mars is bringing back his energy for you, for your home, for your security. What have you discovered along the way, you know, with Mars retrograde? Has anything shifted for you? Are you going to leave something behind? And is that a person that you will leave behind? Or is that a part of you? Or is that your inner child that you're kind of going, that's not who I am anymore? Or is it just a feeling that you just think, I've been feeling and thinking and saying that to myself, I'm going to leave it behind. All these learned habits from childhood. And therefore, you know, are we going to get to a place when we're feeling much better about any emotional sentiments? And are we secure in that sensory comforting and compassionate? And can we feel that compassion for ourselves? Now, Mars is going direct on the 23rd, 24th of February. Now, when Mars goes forward, he is the last planet to go direct. So that means we enter into a period called All Planets Direct Motion, APDM. And I don't think we haven't had one for over a year. So this might feel like, yes, we're now moving. Now things can get done. Things can move ahead. Things often, though, in APDM, often move ahead at, kind of without any checks, without any sense checks. It's like, here you go, straight ahead, bought that car, gone round to and told that person what I thought, or just everything happens without the pause or without the pulling back. So, but also good things. It means that we have the energy to do these things too. So this is APDM, and this starts when Mars goes direct on the 23rd, 24th of February. So yeah, it is like really good time to start getting things done before we get Venus retrograde, you know, and Venus goes retrograde on the 1st, 2nd of March. So we've got a few days or a little window there of activity. It's almost like get everything done before planets go retrograde again. But before we get to that point, we have another week or so in order to figure out about Mars. And then we have the simply wonderful full moon. The full moon on the 12th of February in heart-centered Leo, where we can have some fun. I mean, this is Valentine's, of course. Valentine's is on the 14th, the day of the lovers. And like all sort of pagan festivals or saints' days or other sort of festivals that have come around, they do relate to what the planets are doing. So no wonder that we have the full moon in Leo, in heart-centered Leo, around Valentine's Day every year. It is literally the time to wear your heart on your sleeve, which is what Valentine's are all about. And that's what the full moon Leo is about. Say beautiful things and give compliments to your loved ones. Get your flirting on. And perhaps you've got to go out there with all your chutzpah. This is full moon Leo, which is full of love. Leo rules the heart. So this is a big heart swell. This is the coup de foudre in the heart, the mini fainting of swoon. And here, Leo and all its themes are going to come into full view at this full moon, which is at 24 degrees Leo. Have you got anything around there? There's a lot of goodness to come out for the Leo full moon. This is a heart opening, but also there could be excessive drama or even some prideful moments. But generally, there is like the warmth of being open-hearted and willing to show up with a smile with this. However, this full moon, the Leo full moon, sits on a T-square. So that the first part, the Leo moon, is opposite Mercury, who's at 26 degrees Aquarius. And that's the thinking space there. That's Mercury in Aquarius, thinking. This is the monkey mind as well, but this is the existential ideas, like is Mars an actual planet or just a level of consciousness that we've just been discussing? And as I am a Leo, you can see that the opposite Aquarian forces are working on me. And that is Mercury in opposition to my sun. And obviously the full moon is right near my sun too. But this is my existential and cosmic thinking cap going on. And that's what you're going to get with Mercury in Aquarius. However, in this T-square for this full moon, we've got crazy ass Uranus, the ruler of Aquarius, of course, is also in this T-square to both of them. So square to both Mercury and the full moon, and Uranus is at 23 degrees Taurus. Uranus is, of course, kicking up a storm in Mother Earth. And what have we just had? 4 days of tremors and earthquakes in the lovely island of Santorini, gosh, I hope they're okay. And other quite traumatic things going on around the world in terms of weather and plane crashes, etc. But Uranus is going to be going a bit crazy for this T square. And Uranus is at the T part of the T square, the bit in the middle. He is the protagonist. Although in any full moon chart, we're also, it's the moon is the winner here. The moon beats everything. So the full moon, whilst thinking up these cosmic fancies, as you've just seen, is also being prompted to change the situation. It demands change. Get up and do something. Feel something. Tap into how you feel. The energy is quite volatile, so you could be quite shook up. This is like a reckoning. This is the reckoning. This is like the quickening. You know, you're the Highlander and the quickening comes through this with this electrical bolt. And perhaps we're all going to feel this quickening that happens to really level us all up to the next level of consciousness so that we can go to Mars. And so I always say, though, we have to use the energy rather than let it use you. So do something exciting with that energy. Have you got anything around 24 degrees of Leo or 26 of Aquarius or 23 degrees of Taurus? But then there's the empty space opposite in Scorpio. So 24, 25, 26 of Scorpio. What's there that might need to kind of bring about a resolution? Do you have to dig deep into some kind of emotional contract or where it's been manipulated or you felt that it's not, there's been a mystery there or a secret to be revealed? This is going to blast this, whatever secret it is, to kingdom come, seriously. So each of these points are working together in a kind of feisty standoff. And the Leo full moon kind of wants you to stand up and take it. Come on. To claim whatever chaos is ensuing. Because there may be prizes to be had at the end of it. Seriously, it's like you're going to be rewarded for your quickening, for standing up and saying, bring it on. So in my old terms of bringing it on, my Naomi Wolf book has arrived, the Pfizer papers. Now, she got together, it was at 3,250 people to analyse over 450,000 pages of documents that Pfizer, the ones that Pfizer tried to hide from us for 70 years. Now, I've got the book and I'm, God, it looks like a mega one. Two of my friends have also got the book and I'm glad that they've got it because it looks so vast and complicated that it's good to have someone supporting you and reading you at the same time. And I think I'm going to have to take notes. Or could I have the cliff notes, please? So Naomi Wolf has already said that she was surprised that much of the data centered around infertility and reproduction and female sexual health and menstruation, pregnancies as well. She felt that Pfizer were fully aware that this would have a detrimental effect on women and knew what they were doing right the way through. So I'm really going to report back on some of that, but I think I might have to make the cliff notes myself, unfortunately. But right now I am reading Turtles All the Way Down, which was written by two Israeli doctors who wanted to get to the bottom of the data behind all the immunization programs that go on for children and have been going on since the 60s and who have got immunity from, you know, no liability since 1989. So when, yes, let's leave that there. But I'm reading that and it's very interesting because there isn't much data or the data has been fudged. So, yeah, that's why is that so difficult to share? That sounds like a Scorpio secret about to come out with this. So anyway, so thank you for listening. I want to hear about your theories about what's going to go on with the trip to Mars and what really is in the underworld there. Are there armies there? Let me know. Let me know what you think. So thank you for listening. And I'll, of course, be back next week. And God bless you. And I bid you wondrous blessings, beauty and peace. Thank you.